It is Wednesday, June 5th, and you are listening to Pink is the New Podcast by me, Trent Venegas. And it's June, people. It seems like just yesterday that I decided to start podcasting, and now we're already into June already, which is kind of crazy. And yeah, I'll talk a little bit about that at the end of my weekly entertainment and gossip roundup. So let's get to it. So last week, you may recall, I talked a little bit about Moby and the embarrassing mess he found himself, that he got himself into. After he published his second memoir, bragging about romantic relationships he claims to have had with Lana Del Rey and Natalie Portman. And after the book came out, his claims of romantic relationships with these women were kind of like, they come under fire because, like, Natalie Portman herself was like, yeah, I never dated that guy. He was just a creepy old dude who wouldn't leave me alone. I was 18 years old. I just graduated high school, and he wouldn't leave me alone. but to hear Moby tell the story in his book, he claims that they had a relationship. Anyways, in the wake of all of that backlash of his, I mean, lies... Sure, I suppose you could say that they're lies. Maybe exaggerations is probably something that he would probably be more comfortable with. But whatever the case may be, refutations of his alleged romantic relationships clearly got the best of him. And he decided to cancel a planned book tour that he was going to embark on to promote sales of his book. So there you have it. After all of the drama that surrounded online and in social media, he decided, or the book publisher decided, somebody decided to cancel his book tour. So Moby will not be going on tour to promote his book. Very likely he wanted to avoid having to answer these questions in every single city he went to. So I guess it's for the best. I don't think that this is going to do wonders for book sales, but yeah, I guess whatever. He made the decision to publish these claims. These claims have been denied. He's caught flack for making said claims, and now he's in a position where he doesn't even want to promote the sales of his book. So there you have it. The Moby saga is coming to an end, I think. I mean, I don't know that people are going to be talking about this much longer, especially now that he won't be going on tour and the questions can't be asked of him over and over and over again. If I were him, I would kind of just let this go, you know, do very, very, very minimal book promo, just let the sales happen or not, and then move on. The sooner people stop talking about this, the better for him, and I don't know, maybe he can write another book down the line and keep his exaggerations to himself. So there you go. That's what's going on with Moby right now. Last Thursday, right before midnight, Amazon premiered the TV adaptation of the Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett book, Good Omens. Now, those of you who have been following my blog, when I used to blog, may recall that I am a huge Neil Gaiman fan. Neil Gaiman is probably my favorite living author. He has written some of my most favorite books. And to be honest, his book that he co-authored with the late Terry Pratchett, Good Omens, is probably my favorite of his books. It's hard to say which of his books are my favorites because I love them all. I really do. But Good Omens is one of the ones I read first. It is definitely the Neil Gaiman book I've read the most, and I just love everything about it. So when I heard that the book was being adapted into a series, I was very happy to learn that Amazon was the studio that would be bringing the story to life on the small screen. If I remember, attempts have been made over the years to adapt the book into a film, and I believe Neil was hesitant to have the book adapted into a film because no film could do the story justice. A two-hour film, I think he felt, was not enough time for the full Good Omens story to unfold. Now, a TV series, which is, I think Good Omens is 10 episodes long. Maybe it's 8. But, you know, even 8 hours of storytelling seems to be an appropriate amount of time to tell the story. So, Good Omens premiered on Amazon Friday at midnight, but Amazon released it just before midnight. And the entire series is available for binging. And I am sorry to say that I have not watched the whole thing because I just haven't had the time. But I did watch the first couple of episodes, and it is just a delight to see the story that I have loved for so many years come to life on screen. The casting is fantastic. You know, the writing is fantastic because Neil Gaiman is the screenwriter of the series. So I'm really hopeful that I will have some time very soon to sit down and watch the entire series the whole way through. But it's also one of those stories that I love to savor, which is why I've read the book many, many times over the years. Every time I read it, I take my time with it to really appreciate the humor and the narrative. And I really want to do that with Good Omens, the TV series. So if you are looking for a new show to watch, I highly recommend Good Omens, even though I haven't watched it the whole way through yet, because I know the story. I trust that the TV adaptation will be at least suitable to the novel, and I can't wait to dive in. Another fun little bit of Good Omens-ness is that the soundtrack recording for the series has been released, and it features a song by Tori Amos, who is, as you may know, one of my all-time favorite musicians, and she is really, really good friends with Neil Gaiman. I like to think of Neil and Tori's friendship like my friendship with my best friend Sarah, who we both love and adore Tori Amos. So in that scenario, I'm the Neil Gaiman and Sarah is the Tori. But anyways, so on the soundtrack recording to Good Omens, the TV series, Tori recorded a song written in 1939 titled A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. Now, the song has been recorded many times over the years by many artists, including Nat King Cole. And Neil says in an interview that he wanted to use the song on the soundtrack for Good Omens. And he spent some time listening to as many or all of the renditions of A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. And he decided he didn't, none of them that he heard were right for his adaptation of his novel. And he asked Tori, the way he explained it was he invited her into his edit bay to watch some of the footage. And he asked her if she would record the song. And he really only wanted her to sing a couple verses of the song. And she went and reworked it and recorded three verses and a little ending, which is so cool. Now, I must confess, I have not yet heard Tori's version, Tori's song. I remember, you know, last Thursday when it was announced that Tori had released the song, I meant to listen and then I didn't. But then I realized I think I want to just watch the series and hear the song in context. I can go back and listen to the song as many times as I want, and any new Tori Amos music is welcome. But because it is tied so dearly to her friend's project, I think I want to listen to it in context in the series. So there you have it. There's a new Tori Amos song, a new old song recorded by Tori Amos, and it is featured on the soundtrack recording for Amazon's Good Omens, which is an adaptation of Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett's novel of the same name. Yes, so a lot of great, great news for Neil Gaiman fans and Tori Amos fans. And because I'm such a big fan, I wanted to talk as much as I could about both of those things. Last week, I talked about Netflix will be releasing a TV prequel series based on The Dark Crystal, titled Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. And last Thursday, Netflix released the trailer for the new Dark Crystal prequel. And it is amazing. It looks so, so good. It's not animated. It is, the puppets are created by the Jim Henson Puppet Company, just like the original film. And, while I will say that the footage that is featured in the trailer looks modern, like it looks modern, it looks clean, it looks updated, but it still feels very familiar. It still feels very familiar to the original Dark Crystal film. So, I love every frame of that trailer. And while The Dark Crystal isn't a movie that I've watched many times in my life, because to be quite honest, when it came out, it scared the hell out of me as a kid. The Skeksis, the villains in the film The Dark Crystal, are really scary, and they were really scary to me when I was a young child. Even the main hero elfin characters scared me because they just looked so, you know, elfishly realistic that it scared me. So it wasn't until, you know, I was more grown up and I, you know, watched The Dark Crystal. The last time I think I saw The Dark Crystal was on the big screen here in Los Angeles. And one of my favorite things about living in LA is that we are very lucky to have all kinds of film screenings on any given day. New films, obviously, some we get to see them first. You know, LA and New York gets to see new films, especially art films, before many other, you know, most of the country. And our favorite films from you know, the beginning of time are screened on the big screen at various theaters all around the city, from beautiful old art house theaters to like ArcLight or AMC. I believe Tomorrow night, The Crow is being screened on the big screen here, which I'm hoping to get to go to. I'm not sure if I can because of work, but anyways, I'm getting off topic. What I'm saying is the last time I saw The Dark Crystal was at the formerly Silent Movie Theater in West Hollywood. Now it's called the Silent Movie Theater because it used to be a silent movie theater, but now it's like a regular old one theater. And I got to see The Dark Crystal within the last few years and loved it. So I'm very, very excited for this new Netflix prequel series. And I think that if you are a fan of The Dark Crystal, you will be, you're excited as well. If you are not, I recommend that you check out The Dark Crystal and see what you think. And if it's your cup of tea, you're probably going to be excited for the new prequel series as well. So The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, will premiere on Netflix on August 30th. Check out the trailer. I loved it. Another trailer that came out last Thursday was for Rambo 5 Last Blood, which I don't know that the world really knew that it needed a new Rambo movie, but apparently it does. You know, there have been 4 previous Rambo films, Rambo First Blood and First Blood Part 2 and Third Blood and Fourth Blood or whatever. But Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger are 2 of the oldest action hero actors who are still working, still putting out, you know, action films, and are still able to make sequel films based on their blockbuster films of the 80s. I mean, these guys are in their 60s and 70s, I want to say, and they're still making films, and Rambo 5 Last Blood is no exception. You know, I watched the trailer, and from what I gather, John Rambo is, you know, trying to live the quiet life on a farm or something. You know, apparently he's still racked by guilt of all of the trauma he's been through and deaths of his friends in Vietnam and of war and all of that. And for some reason, some stupid idiots, probably the government, come for him, and he has to stand his ground, clap back, and probably kill them all. In the trailer, we see him draw his famous bow and arrow. He pulls out, you know, his Bowie knife from his hip pocket or thigh pocket. And it's the one thing I didn't see in the trailer, maybe I missed it, he wasn't wearing his famous red bandana wrapped around his head. But if I were a betting man, I would bet that red bandana will show up at some point in the new Rambo sequel. So if you're a fan of those action films, if you're a fan of Sylvester Stallone, if you're a fan of Rambo, this is a movie you're going to look out for. I believe Rambo 5 Last Blood hits theaters in September. Let's see. Mark Paul Gosselaar, actor, gave an interview last week on Thursday, or at least the news of it came out last Thursday, where he said he was open to appearing in a Saved by the Bell reunion series or reboot or sequel or something. My guess is all of this talk of the Beverly Hills 90210 reboot, sequel, whatever it is, probably has interviewers asking all actors from all previous types of shows, Melrose Place and those kinds of shows, asking them if they'd be willing to do a reboot sequel. So I'm guessing that's why they asked him this question. And he said, yes, he's open, but only if the story makes sense. He said something like he'll only do a Saved by the Bell sequel if it honored the original story, which I think is hilarious because the original Saved by the Bell story wasn't really something that was that seriously worth honoring. But whatever, that's what he said. And he mentioned in the interview, which I found depressingly depressing, that he is now Dennis Hastings. So the actor who played Mr. Belding in Saved by the Bell, Dennis Hastings, he is now that guy's age when he played Mr. Belding back when Saved by the Bell was on in the 90s. So Zach Morris is now the age of Mr. Belding. And if they did a Saved by the Bell reunion or reboot or sequel, Zach Morris and his Saved by the Bell Bayside High cohorts will all be of Mr. Belding's age. So, what do you think about that? All right. So, last Thursday, RuPaul's Drag Race aired the finale episode, and a new drag queen has been crowned. And I have to say, to be honest, I found the entire finale episode kind of boring. The showdown between the four final queens was really lackluster. All of the lip sync performances were pretty meh. And, you know, I wasn't really excited or anything by what I saw on the finale episode. That being said, the queen that I was rooting for, especially in the last few weeks, ended up winning, and America's next drag superstar is Evie Oddly. I loved her through the entire run. She wasn't my original pick to win, but as the, you know, as the field narrowed down and it got down to the final, I want to say final six, she was the one I was running for. Brooklyn Heights was also one of my favorites, and it kind of went between Brooklyn and Evie, but ultimately I decided Evie was probably the better of the two, and RuPaul agreed. So Evie Oddly is our new drag, America's drag superstar. So congratulations to her. She's another one of those queens who is kind of like scary, and her drag is kind of creepy and interesting and not pedestrian. It's not expected. It's always exciting, you know? You never know what you're going to get from her when she walks down the runway. And that's what I really, really appreciate about her drag. And I think that that's the edge that gave her the win in the end. So again, congratulations to Evie Oddly. Her win is well deserved. I am a fan, and she deserves her place in Drag Race herstory. Last Friday, we learned that the deal for Robert Pattinson to become the new Batman is pretty much a done deal. Earlier, in an earlier podcast, I mentioned that he was in the running, but it wasn't a done deal. At that time, there wasn't a lot of really solid information that was released, so I wasn't, you know, I couldn't say that he was going to be the new Batman because it wasn't decided. And as far as I can tell, I don't believe Warner Brothers has released a press release saying officially, yes, he is, but by all accounts, Robert Pattinson will become the new Batman. It has been reported that it was between Robert Pattinson and actor Nicholas Holt, and our Robert Pattinson ended up winning in the end. Both Robert and Nicholas screen tested in bat suits worn in earlier bat suits, which, and they didn't say whose bat suits they wore, so whether they were you know, the Michael Keaton suit, which I don't think, or any of them from the 90s, George Clooney's or Val Kilmer's. It's very likely that they screen tested in the suit that Ben Affleck wore in Batman versus Superman and Justice League. But it's also possible that they screen tested in Christian Bale's Batman suits. But whatever the case may be, it was down to Nicholas Holt and Robert Pattinson. They both screen tested in previously worn bat suits, and Robert Pattinson is the new Batman. And again, you know, I mentioned this before, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't necessarily hate the idea, but I really don't love the idea. I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, we talked about this before. Michael Keaton, when Michael Keaton was cast as Batman, everybody hated the idea. Absolutely everybody hated the idea. And Michael Keaton ended up being a fucking awesome Batman. The first Batman on the big screen. When Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker, everybody hated that idea. Nobody believed that he could do a great job. And he ended up doing such a great job that he won an Academy Award for his performance. So I want to believe that Robert Pattinson will make a good Batman. But, you know, I mean, to be honest, I don't really have a lot of faith in Warner Brothers, or at least in the DC Comics casting, because the DC Comics films have been completely lackluster. All of them. Wonder Woman is fantastic. I really, really liked Aquaman. But the way that they've done Batman, the way that they've done Superman, The Flash, Cyborg, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy with how they've done it. So, you know, maybe this is the beginning of a new era of the DC cinematic universe, and maybe Robert Pattinson will blow our minds as a fantastic Batman. I can only hope. We can only hope. So we will see. I'm sure there will be much more discussion and much more information moving forward as Robert Pattinson, you know, takes on the mantle of the new Batman. So we're going to have to wait and see how that all works out. Last Friday, Napster, the music file sharing service, turned 20 years old. So 20 years ago in 1999, Napster launched. And those of you who are old enough to remember Napster probably remember very fondly how much that file sharing system changed the world. Everything that we know today about digital music all goes back to the Napster days. I mean, I remember, man, it was such a great time to be a music fan. CD burners, personal CD burners were affordable. And when you were able to duplicate your CDs and, you know, share them with your friends, that was awesome. That was like the coolest thing ever. You know, it was like making a mixtape, but from CDs. Then when Napster came out and you could download absolutely any song you wanted and make mix CDs like that, you know, download entire albums, download entire concerts, download entire catalogs of artists. It was just so mind-blowingly revolutionary that I can't even fully explain to you what it was like unless you really were there to enjoy it and appreciate it in person, like when it happened. So, you know, Napster got sued, you know, Metallica, the whole thing, like Napster got sued and shut down. But once the genie was out of the bottle, it couldn't be undone. And now we take for granted that we can download any song that we want, whether we pay for it or not, within seconds. Back in the day, it took like an hour, more than an hour, to download one song. I remember, you know, going into a computer lab in the middle of the night. The computer was hooked up to a T1 connection, and, you know, Tori Amos's new album, one of her albums, I want to say maybe it was Scarlet's Walk, had been leaked to the internet, and it took all night for me to download all 10 songs or however many songs it was. And it was just like the greatest thing ever. Now we take for granted that you could download that same record in minutes, seconds. Sometimes we can stream any song we want on YouTube or Spotify. So all of the stuff that we enjoy today went all the way back to 20 years ago when Napster was created. So it's kind of a cool anniversary to celebrate and to look back and remember. Last Friday, Britney Spears, our dear Britney Spears, attended her son Jaden's 8th grade graduation. People magazine reported that she and Jaden's father, Kevin Federline, and his wife, Victoria, all attended Jaden's 8th grade graduation ceremony. And, you know, the reports are she looked great. She was very happy to be there to celebrate her son's graduation, which is so cute. I'm happy to report that, well, I didn't at least hear or read or see any sort of disparaging news stories or anything about what's going on with her. So it seemed to be a pretty quiet week for her, but a happy week for her. In addition to going out to her son's graduation ceremony, she posted a couple videos on Instagram. One of them was a video of her dancing to Billie Eilish's song Bad Guy. So, you know, it looks like things are going well for Britney, and I'm very happy to say that. So good for her. Congratulations to Jaden. And yeah, happy Britney news, which I'm very happy to share. On Saturday, the Wango Tango Music Festival concert took place here in LA. And one of the cool things that came out of that concert was photos hit social media shortly after Wango Tango happened of Taylor Swift posing for a photo with Marilyn Manson. And I fucking love that photo. I mean, my musical tastes do run the gamut from Taylor Swift on one end and Marilyn Manson on the other. So I was very happy to see them together. As soon as that photo, or there are two photos, but as soon as those photos hit social media, Twitter went crazy talking about, like, is this the new collab of 2019? You know, are they friends? All this other kind of stuff. I doubt it. I doubt that the two of them will work together, but stranger things have happened, and I would be here for a Taylor Swift and Marilyn Manson collab. So I'm going to put that out into the universe and hope that it happens. I'm going to wish it into fruition, and we'll see. But if all we get out of their meetup are these photos, that's good enough for me. I'm happy about that. It turns out that Manson was also having, he also posed for a photo with the Jonas Brothers and Ryan Seacrest. So it looks like Manson was having a good time at Wango Tango, and he was getting all of his pictures with all of his, you know, pop star, you know, he was getting photos with pop stars, probably because, you know, to him it was probably funny. Maybe he's a fan, who knows? But whatever. I think it's cute. I think it's cute that these photos took place. And yeah, maybe this will be something, you know, maybe something will happen down the line and I'll be like, you remember that photo that they took, that Manson took with Taylor Swift at Wango Tango? Well, blah, 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 blah. So we'll see what comes of that, if anything. Other music news last Saturday, Lindsay Lohan posted on her Instagram that she is currently, quote, hard at work. And the inference is that she is hard at work recording new music. Now, Lindsay didn't give a lot of details. I think she wanted it to be very plainly obvious that she was in a recording studio, and she wants people to talk about the fact that she's recording new music. And if that's the case, I will die, because while Lindsay Lohan has let her acting career go and she's been an absolute mess for a long time, she's relatively cleaned up her act lately. You know, if we kind of forget the fact that she was trying to kidnap kids on the street, and, you know, she's kind of like saying crazy things about being in support of the current administration in this country, which kind of make me sick and nauseous. But let's put that aside for a couple of moments and remember that Lindsay used to be a pop singer. She has released two albums. plus, you know, extra songs on movie soundtracks, and all of her songs are bops. I have been a fan of Lindsay's music more than anything that she's ever done, and I remember even blogging back when I was still writing about the fact that if Lindsay really wanted to have a, if she really wanted to revive her career and get back on top, or at least, you know, win back some of her, the love and admiration she had for her fans, it would be by recording new music. A couple of years ago, I want to say, she was teasing things about a recording studio, but then it turned out that it was her younger sister, Allie Lohan, who was recording music, and no one really gave a shit about that. So, you know, it sounds like Lindsay is finally ready to do something of interest, something interesting, something that people have been waiting for. And if she's going to release a new song or a new album, I will be very, very happy to give it a full listen, because as I said, I love her music. I loved everything she's ever released. And the prospect of a new Lindsay Lohan album, whew, got me excited. So we'll see. Will it be enough to make me forgive and forget a lot of her messes? Remains to be seen. But if anything can do it, it would be a banger album from her. So let's wait and see. On a personal note, last Saturday, I attended the wrap party for the TV show I just finished filming. So I mentioned previously that I've been working on the HGTV series, A Very Brady Renovation, where we are renovating the real life house that was used in the Brady Bunch to make it look like it did on the show. And our principal filming was done 2 weeks ago. And last week, I was helping out with filming The Beauties, which is the finished house and all of the furnishings and decorations in place. And we film every room, every nook and cranny from every angle. We did that for 3 days. So last Friday was the very last day of official filming of any kind on A Very Brady Renovation. And last Saturday was our wrap party. So all of us Los Angelinos were trucked down to Newport Beach for a wrap party on the beach. And while the party wasn't really all that, it was fun to be with all of my work friends. And we had a really, really good time on the water, drinking together, laughing together, sharing stories together. So that was a fun night. And then my friend Wes and I, after the wrap party, we hung out with Dylan, the project design manager of Brady Renovation, and we drank some more. And then after that, Wes and I went out for more revelry. It was a long, long, very fun night. Which brings me to Sunday. Sunday, I didn't do shit. I didn't do anything. I had plans to hang out with some people. I had a friend in town who I couldn't see. I had plans with Adriana that I couldn't make because I was hungover AF. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't really overdo it on Saturday night. I mean, I drank some and I drank and all of that, but it wasn't like I was doing shots and I wasn't like going crazy. But at my age, unfortunately, I don't bounce back from even moderate revelry. So it took me all damn day to recover from my Saturday. So Sunday was a wash for me. But to be honest, I really could use a day off, and I made the most of it. Even though I had a headache and I wasn't feeling super great, it was nice to have a day off. So my Sunday was, that was my Sunday. On Monday, it was reported that Keanu Reeves may join the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So the next phase of Marvel movies, I believe it starts with Spider-Man Far From Home, which comes out in July. even though it's technically a Sony film. Spider-Man has been incorporated into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I believe that that film will officially start the next phase of Marvel films, which pick up where Avengers Endgame left off. And it is being reported that Keanu Reeves is being considered for a role in a future Marvel movie. If he is, if these reports are true, he is supposed to be cast in the new Eternals film. Now, the Eternals are kind of like the X-Men. So the Eternals are like a group of, you know, mutant-like superhero. They're like a family or a royal family or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. Like, I don't really know the Eternals very well, but you know, if Marvel's adapting them for the big screen, I'm sure I and all of us will become well acquainted with the Eternals. The Eternals film has already cast Angelina Jolie and Richard Madden from Game of Thrones. So they are two of the actors who have been cast in the Eternals film that is in pre-production. And it sounds like Keanu Reeves might join them. So that is very exciting news. Like, Keanu Reeves is having a moment right now. His John Wick 3 movie has been doing very well in theaters. He is about to star in a new Bill and Ted sequel film, which I am very fucking excited about. I can't even tell you. I love the Bill and Ted films, and Bill and Ted 3 I am dying for, so I'm very excited about that. So if Keanu does sign on to appear in the future Marvel movies, they will likely sign him for at least 3 films and maybe more. So we may be getting a whole lot of Keanu in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'm very excited about that. On a personal note, on Monday night, I received in the mail Britney Spears' 3rd album, Britney, on vinyl. So over the past couple of years, Urban Outfitters has been releasing Britney's albums on vinyl for the first time ever. For the first time since these albums were released in the late 90s, early 2000s, they are finally being released on vinyl, which is insane to me. Baby One More Time was released on limited edition pink vinyl at Urban Outfitters, and I have that record. And then earlier this year, Oops, I Did It Again was released on vinyl by Urban Outfitters, and now Britney has been released on vinyl. So I now have Britney Spears' first 3 albums on vinyl, and I couldn't be more thrilled. The first thing I did when I got home was I, you know, pulled out that record and spun it, and it's the first time that I've heard it the whole way through in a while, and I forgot how much I really love that record. It's a really, really good record, definitely one of my favorites. So I'm very hopeful that Urban will continue to release Britney's records on vinyl and on a timely schedule. I believe it's only been 3 or 4 months in between Oops, I Did It Again and Britney. So hopefully in another 3 to 5 months, we'll get the next record and then the next record and then the next record until we have them all. And then I can die a happy man. So if you are a Britney Spears fan and or you are a vinyl fan, you're going to want to go to urbanoutfitters.com or to an Urban Outfitters store near you and pick up these Britney records on vinyl. Now, Urban Outfitters is a great place to get really neat records, and sometimes they have exclusives that no one else has. I just recently also got the soundtrack to Cruel Intentions on vinyl from Urban Outfitters. Carly Rae Jepsen's new record I'm just remembering because I was just at the site. Her new record is coming out is being sold on vinyl at Urban Outfitters. Now that's a record that I believe is probably sold elsewhere, but my guess is the Urban Outfitters version will be an exclusive color. I had to go to Urban Outfitters to get Billie Eilish's her debut record because they had it on this really cool color that I wanted that no other record store had. So if you are a vinyl fan and you like colored vinyl and exclusives, you're going to want to make sure that you put Urban Outfitters on your shopping list because they carry some really great stuff. All right. On Tuesday, it was reported that a Punky Brewster reboot is being developed. Now, it really sounds like, as I'm talking about this out loud, there are a lot of damn reboots and sequels and all of that shit. And I guess that's always been the case. There have always been, you know, sequel films and reboots, you know, ever since I can remember. But it just seems like, God, everything's a reboot these days. And maybe it's always been that way. And maybe just because I'm talking about so many things in order lately. But so another reboot, another sequel, Punky Brewster is being developed. Soleil Moonfry, the actress who played Punky Brewster on the original series, is coming back. And as far as is being reported, Soleil will play Punky Brewster as an adult. She is a mother of three, and she meets a young girl that reminds her of herself. So it sounds like Punky's all grown up. She may or may not be single, a single mother of three children, and she meets, I'm going to guess, a homeless child like her character was when she was young. And it'll be like a Punky Brewster for a new generation. So if you're a Punky Brewster fan, that's something to look forward to. Photos of Scarlett Johansson on the set of her Black Widow movie made their way to the internets on Tuesday. Scarlett was spotted in costume on set in Norway. So we know that the Black Widow film is being filmed as we speak. There hasn't really been a lot of information about what the film will be like, but the overwhelming consensus is that it will be a prequel film that will likely tell about Black Widow's origins, probably tell her origin story, because we all know that she died in Avengers Endgame. So it's unlikely that this film will take place after Avengers Endgame, unless she's in an alternate universe or whatever, and I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole. But the consensus is that the new Black Widow film will be a sequel film, and it is currently in production. So the photos are out there if you want to see what Scarlett looks like as Black Widow in her film. So go check it out. And finally, the last bit of news I want to report is that on Tuesday, it was reported that Rihanna is now the world's richest female musician with a net worth of $600 million. Now, she has surpassed Madonna's net worth of $570 million to become the richest female musician on Earth, which is crazy. In addition to all the music that Rihanna has released, she's also a fashion mogul. She has her own fragrance line. She sealed a deal with the company that owns Louis Vuitton to like sell her line. So she is making bank. Her Fenty brand is worth $6 billion. So while her company's worth $6 billion, that's her company. The money in her bank, the money that she can spend herself, that she can do whatever she wants with, is estimated or is being reported as $600 million. So congratulations to Rihanna for working hard to achieve this this designation as the richest female musician. you know, she hasn't really done anything music-wise or pop culture-wise in a while. Clearly, she's been working hard behind the scenes on her business, and now she's rich, 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 rich. So congratulations to her. And that's all I got. That's all I got for this week. Yeah, so like I mentioned, I was working like crazy last week, and yeah, and in the middle of all of the long hours of work that I've been doing on my TV show, I've been able to see some friends, have some bit of a social life, and still manage to put together this little ragtag podcast that I hope once my work situation and things settle to a more regular routine, I'll be able to put a little bit more producing effort into the friend who I talked to about composing a little theme music for has finished the project. So I need to get that from him and edit together so I can have a proper little "Welcome to Pink is a New Blog" intro to my podcast. So hopefully I can get that taken care of soon. But yeah, as I was putting together my thoughts for what I was going to talk about today for this week, I was like, wow, it's already June and I've been doing this for like 3 months now. It's coming up on 3 months, full 3 months almost. And it's crazy. It's been fun. It's been something that I've still been looking forward to. And, it's something that I'm still thinking about how I want to make better. I'm considering a little bit of a format change, and I'm hesitant to talk about it here because I don't really want to, I'm not going to talk about what I'm thinking about. I might pull you listeners and friends of mine online on Facebook or something to ask what you think about the idea that I'm thinking about. So we'll see. I just feel like there's so much great stuff to talk about, and I love doing it, and I love sharing, and the feedback that I'm getting is you love hearing it and you love engaging. So I want to figure out a way to do it, I don't know, in a more not elaborate way, but in a more fulfilling way, or a way that's more regular. So we'll see how this evolves, if it evolves at all. I mean, it will get better because I'm going to insist that it gets better, and the more that I do it, I know the better I'll get at it. So all right, I can tell I'm rambling. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for being here with me in June. We're in a new month with a whole bunch of new stuff to talk about. I had a busy week, but a great week. I hope you had a great week. I hope it wasn't too busy for you. And, let's meet back here in a week's time to talk about the forthcoming week's gossipy entertainment news. And, if there's anything that you want to tell me, want to share with me, feedback, please hit me up. Pink is the New Podcast on Instagram. Pink is the New Podcast on Facebook. And Pink is the New Pod on Twitter. You can also hit me up on my personal socials at Trempinagus on all of the platforms. Some of you have been messaging me. I've been getting private messages and I've been trying to respond to you. And I thank you for taking the time, and I love you for taking the time. And if there's anything you want to hit me with, hit me back. Let's talk about it. Until then, we will meet back here again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. You have a great week. I am out. Bye.